Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY22 earnings conference call of Suven Pharmaceuticals. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rishabh Barar from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this call to discuss the Q2 and H1 FY22 earnings for Suven Pharmaceuticals. We have with us Mr. Venkat Jasti, the Chairman and Director, Mr. Venkatraman Sunder, Vice President, Corporate Affairs, and Mr. Subba Rao, the CFO, Suven Pharmaceuticals. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. Documents relating to the company's performance have been mailed to you earlier. I now request Mr. Jasti to share his perspectives on the performance and outlook. Over to you, sir.
Good morning to everyone, and season's greetings to all the participants. As you could see from the results, we have a good growth in terms of the top-line growth, and we have a good mainly because of the specialty chemicals higher sales this quarter compared to the, I mean, earlier quarter. The main problem, as you know, the results are with you, and you can see all the results, and there is a pressure in the margins for this quarter. That's mainly because, in addition to the other problems we were facing in terms of the freight rates going up sky-high and non-availability of the vessels, added to that, there is an increase in the cost of the raw materials, which is evident this time to the 6%-7% of that has gone into the additional cost. That has a pain point. The second point is the non-availability of basic raw materials itself is a little bit alarming sometimes because that can stop the manufacturing process itself rather than having less profit margins when the price of raw material goes up and if it's available. So these are the conditions which we are now going through, and we are not sure when this will change because I don't see anything in sight at this time, at least for the next three to four months. Also coming up in the Chinese, already some shutdowns are happening because of the COVID. And also, the holidays will start in January timeframe. That also will affect raw materials, pricings, and also the availability. So under these circumstances, we are keeping our fingers crossed. But one good thing we have for the next 6 months, visibility-wise, we have a very good order book. If these prices remain at this level, we are certainly keep our margins above 40% EBITDA margins. The only worry, as I was telling, is non-availability, which can stifle the growth. Hope that will not come to this. So far, no problem in that front, but I see something may happen because of all these combination of things that's happening with the Chinese shutdowns and the holidays and also the prices spiraling effect into the domestic material also, which is very basic in nature. So all these things are playing havoc, but at the same time, with the good order book position, at least for the next 6 months, we are confident that we'll maintain the growth potential, what we have promised earlier. I think it's better for me to answer the individual's questions rather than giving extra four things, which will give much better clarity to all the listeners. Over to you.
Should we open with the Q&A session, sir?
Please, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ankush Agrawal from Surge Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Mr. Jaffe. Thank you for taking my question. So firstly, can you talk a little bit on the progress on our formulation business? Because this quarter, there was a quite degrowth on that business. And the first half also, I think they're quite flattish to single-digit growth. So how do you see this business going ahead?
Yes, there was, not only here, and in general, in the formulations, there is a little bit slowness in there. And we hope, the third quarter also will be remain the same, but fourth quarter onwards, we expect some couple of new products being launched, and the growth can come in that fourth quarter. We expect that to happen. But in general, not only with us, things are a little soft in this quarter with respect to formulations.
All right. So do you think that the bigger picture in our formulation piece would come from the CMO opportunities from the multinational companies that you have been talking about for some time now, or would it be our own product that we would be launching?
See, as of now, it is a very minuscule amount compared to the total. It's less than 10%. It is not a CDMO thing. It is only the ANDAs we file and the profit share we generate. This is based on that business model, but not the CDMO yet, because we have not done any CDMO activity with the multinationals yet. They was telling last time also, it takes a while before they come to us, the due diligence and all that stuff. Because of this COVID, there is a delay of these 2 years, and so they have to start all over again. And it will delay the process. But the growth we expect, whatever the growth, will be due to the ANDAs we file and the profit shares we generate.
All right. So the whole strategy behind establishing a formulation unit was our own ANDA business, not necessarily the CMO business, right? Would that be a right understanding?
Yes. It was never a CMO business. What I was telling is the life cycle management of the drugs, which includes the API part of the business also, for the multinationals when the product goes into generic, both the formulations and the API itself. So that's what the CDMO part of the business. But the other part, you're right, this is only mainly the ANDA-based activity.
Right. Secondly, sir, I see that you have received some 33 crores as a dividend from Suven Pharma in our US subsidiary. So can you point out the source of this funds? Is it that Rising has given some dividends to Suven Pharma Inc., or is it some other income that Suven has?
No, this is a dividend received by the Suven Pharma Inc., which in turn has been passed on to Suven Pharma India. So that is what I was saying.
I want to know the source of how Suven Inc. US has earned this money.
It got a dividend from Rising Pharma Holdings.
It got dividend.
For our investment in the Rising Pharma.
Right. So should we expect this to continue? If Rising has made any formal announcement that will continue?
After 2.5 years, we got the first dividend, and we hope that will continue every year at least once.
Okay. Got it. Thank you so much. I'll get back in the queue for the question.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Sudarshan Padmanabhan from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question, and congrats on, good set of numbers in, pretty challenging conditions. Sir, my question is to understand, I think we talked about transportation issues and raw material prices. If you break the business, there is campaigns and there is contracts. And if you can talk a bit about, you know, because we have talked about this 14%-15% top line growth, and, you know, when the raw material prices go up, I'm sure that there is part of contracts and there is part of the business where you can pass it through. So given that you've already done about 18-19% in the first half, I mean, do we believe that we should, you know, do the similar kind of a run rate in the second half? And second is, you know, when we talked about raw material pressure, I mean, I understand that usually the pass-through can also happen with a lead and lag. So would we see some kind of a pass-through happening, say, in the third quarter, and therefore, to some extent, the margins on the crop side specifically would kind of inch up?
The raw material prices pass-through is not going to happen immediately for us, unlike other business models, but where we are in a we've got a long duration project. That means by the time you get the business and you supply, it may take 6 to 9 months and all that stuff. And these are all small volume products, and most of the time we cannot be able to pass on the thing unless it is a substantial increase of that something which they think will, if it's more than 10% only, we will go there and we'll share the differential in cost. Otherwise, we will not be able to pass on the cost, and that's why you see there's some pressure this quarter. And only whenever there is a new order comes in, then the new orders, which we will certainly include the new pricing, which they understand. But when once the old orders, I mean, these are all 100 kilos, 200 kilos, 300 kilos, whatever it may be on the brand side of the business, it is very difficult for us to, after placing the purchase order, to get the pass on the benefit, I mean, pass on the cost, unless there is a huge increase above 10%, then only we will be allowed to go there. So, as far as the run rate is concerned, yes, we will have the run rate, as I was telling you in the opening remarks, that based on the order book, yes, we will have the same run rate. What we have for the first two quarters, same thing will be there for the next two quarters together.
So we should end up doing about 18-20% as compared to what we had initially expected, about 12-15%.
What is that again?
It will be around 18%.
Yeah, yeah.
Approximately.
Yes. Yeah.
And sir, my second question is on the capacity available. And, you know, we are going ahead with this big CapEx coming in, and I think that is, you know, very much required. I mean, both the, you know, CapEx that is required for growth as well as CapEx that is required for modernizing. But at this point of time, I mean, if you take, say, for example, from the 310 crore run rate to say 350 crore run rate, would we be having capacity, or, you know, what is the kind of, you know, thought process, I mean, until the big capacities come, how are we going to manage the capacities and growth?
I mean, it's depending on, you see, the campaign-based activity, this is, as you know, and sometimes you may not have a balancing equipment to be there to increase the capacity, not necessarily the whole train, because we don't know what the number of reactors that is required for that. But in the new capex we have planned, out of that, one is a replacement capex of 200 crores in Suryapet, replacing a new old blocks with the new block, and there will be some additional capacity will be created, and with the modernization, as you know, compared to the 30-year-old plant. The other one is a location change for the R&D center. That's not a capacity utilization anyway. Pashamayalaro is the only place where we are apportioning about 150 crores for that new block. That will be fuel capacity enhancement. That will take another 2 years before it comes into picture.
And until then, for the 15% growth, we have capacity by debottlenecking or whichever, you know, way.
Yes, always. That has always been there. I mean, we use the replacement capex of about 50 to 60 crores minimum every year. That's a mix and match things that what we do. Put up one reactor there and additional of this thing, all the things. These are being a very thing. I mean, the capacity will never be a problem because we'll be having enough. Time is given for us. If we need to ramp up, and the business has to be there, and the ramping up is much easier.
And one final question before I wrap up, I mean, on the, you know, product going commercial, I mean, I understand that, you know, we are expecting another molecule, you know, of specialty coming in later this year or, you know, probably next year, and probably one or two more candidates on the non-specialty side. I mean, how are we in terms of on course of maintaining that? And that should drive the growth, right? I mean, as we move to FY24.
Yeah, just now, I mean, the third specialty chemical already started this year, revenue generation. That's why you see increase in the specialty chemical business also a little bit. And the next one will be sometime in 2022 and something like that. As far as the grant side, as the innovator side, as the pharma side, we don't have any indication as of now when it's going to have any commercial opportunities that are coming, where there are few molecules in the phase three, and we'll know only maybe 4 to 6 months ahead of time. As of now, there is no indication.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Ajay.
Thanks.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. Should you have any follow-up, may be requested to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Gokul Maheshwari from Orica Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. My question is on the specialty chem business. Initially, at the start of the year, you had guided for 5 to 10% sales growth with the expectation that you would add a molecule sometime in 22 for an opportunity. So is this that there has been some preponement of commercialization in specialty chem, which has led to such strong growth? And in that context, could you just sort of give an indication of the broader trends for the growth for this business? Thank you.
This is not preponement of any commercialization. We don't have anything. As Mr. Jasti was explaining, this is going to be only in 2022. And we may get maybe one product subject to success in the trials, field trials, whatever they're doing. Right now, it's a natural growth. Yes, you know, I mean, compared to previous year, same quarter, it was 68 crore. This time, you know, it is about almost, it is doubled to 137 crores. And overall, for the 6 months, you know, it was 161 crores last year to this year, about 222 crores. Possibly, you know, we may have a little bit of, you know, more than 5% growth there. But then we need to wait and see overall how it is going to happen for the next 6 months.
Okay, so clearly it's going to be better than that 5 to 10% growth. So should we be ending more like the 25-30% kind of a growth for the full year in this particular segment?
No, you're talking about the specialty chemicals growth?
Yes, yes, that's right. Because first half, we are already 35.
Yeah, when we thought of it is 5 to 10% growth, but what happens is something you are missing here is because this is a day-in-day-out supplies, and sometimes because of these delays in these shipments, our things can come into one quarter, and then in next quarter, I mean, what happens is in the June quarter, if we could not supply 2 containers, and they will spill over into the, because of the non-availability of the vessels. Those comes into the next quarter. It was not the case before like that. So some aberrations will be there, yes. But 5 to 10%, it will go up to maybe 10 to 12 to 15% also. Things are, I mean, as I said, natural growth is there. And these are also, cyclical in nature, as you know, in the specialty chemicals. And sometimes one quarter you may not have anything. Anything means very small amounts compared to other quarters. So, but the growth is, yes, about 10 to 12% on average.
Oh, okay, great. And my second question is, I just wanted to reconfirm that we had around 5 intermediary products which were in the phase 3.
Yes.
Which perhaps you've indicated in the previous question that there has not been any progress in that. And we will come to know only 4 to 6 months prior to their commercial launches. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
And any additions to this number in the phase 3?
Not yet. Nothing.
Not yet. Okay, great, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Venkat from 3 Sigma Financials. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and good set of numbers, sir. Thank you. So, you know, one question I have is, when I look at the raw material cost, compared to, several years, you know, it is not completely out of range, but when I look at the operating profit, that is where we are taking a hit. Can you kindly explain?
Yes, I mean, raw material cost, as I said, 6 to 7%, but the operational cost also, it is there. Yeah, because of the raw material cost increases and the natural cost increases in the salaries and the utilities and the environmental treatment, all these things will add up. And when we have the same products doing same year on year out, and they will remain at the same place, but at the same time, all these costs will go up. And for the new products, we would be able to charge the additional things, but for the existing products, we will not be able to add that cost. So yes, it's a combination of not only the raw material costs, but also the manufacturing expenses. Especially, and the third thing is, this quarter we have a huge, I mean, this half year we have a huge percentage of 1.5% on total sales is the only the logistics cost increase. So these are all playing a role, not in one. But in general, because the main thing is the raw material, which we are telling the raw material, but all other things also gone up.
So is this raw material cost going up? You know, this is not related to Suven, but in general, is this across the board for companies across the world, or is it specific to India? I'm looking at it more from competitive advantage for the country.
No, it is everybody, not India. Anything which we are importing from China and especially the early stage raw materials and solvents, that is being affected not only in India but all over the world.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshit Shah from Nirvana Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my questions, and congratulations for a good set of numbers, particularly during this time. So my question pertains to the five molecules which we said are in phase three, and we haven't heard anything yet. Sir, can you tell us, is like any of these molecules phase three results are out, or is it due anytime soon in your knowledge?
No, not yet. That's what I was telling. At least takes 4 to 6 months ahead of time, we will know about it. Since we have not received any communication from our customers that should be ready for, because they may say a month before they read out and all that stuff, the opportunity may come if the results are good, so you prepare for yourself. That kind of a communication comes, and then only we will be able to guide anybody else and ourselves internally. So far, we have not heard anything from that side, so we're waiting for that.
Okay. And sir, on one more thing on that. So out of these five, how many of them the trials have completed, if you can tell us?
If the trials are completed, I will know now. So they are still going on.
The trials for all of them have been completed, phase three.
No, they are still going on.
They're still going on. Okay. Got it.
Right.
And sir, on Rising Pharma, sir, this year has been really good. I mean, you've got 33 crore dividend as well. And even if you look at the profitability front, the first half, it's up 100% year on year from around 20 crore to 40 crore. So, sir, any update on that? How is it performing as what you expected, or is it better than what you initially thought?
Based on the numbers we have, we are saying that we are doing good. And but inside, I cannot tell. I mean, whatever we get out of it, that means that the profit share or the dividend, that's what it comes to us. And in general, they are doing good. But also, there will be ups and downs quarter on quarter because of the launches taking place in one quarter may give you a better profitability compared to the one. Yes. As I was telling that on the rising, the things are doing good, and which is evident from the dividend received and also the profit share, as the caller has rightly mentioned. And but there will also be, you have to understand that quarter on quarter it cannot be the same, but as the year on year, there is a good growth potential. That's all.
Great, sir. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abdul Kadir Puranwala from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So just one clarification on your opening remarks where you mentioned that the order book is quite good. I mean, you have 6 months good visibility. So any further comments on how the order book would look within the CDMO pharma space, that is within the clinics or, you know, within the commercialization side? And are we receiving much more inquiries on the clinic side as well with respect to the molecule addition?
See, when I say the order book is good, the inquiries is not leading to an order book right away. No, the order book does not contain the inquiries. The inquiries comes in and it reduces the purchase order, then only it books into the order book. But all segments are doing the traction is good, and based on the next 6 or 5 months indication, I have told that we will have the same wrap up as the first 2 quarters put together, and that is a good part of it. And the only thing is fulfilling those commitments, and because of the raw materials shortages, so we are worried. Just a cautionary thing we are telling, as of now, nothing that's like that has happened. But the raw material cost has increased, which we may not be able to pass on for the existing products. And even with that increase, if they stay at this level, and we can maintain the EBITDA margins at this level.
Sure, sir. Sure. And also, the next question is on the dividend income what we have registered on the standalone entity. And if we, and I assume over here, this was on the basis of our income on FY21, what we had generated from the JV. So that roughly amounts to nearly 60 to 65% of the payout what we had booked in FY21. So are we also seeing that, this sort of a steady state payout would be maintained ahead also when we say about having this one-time income, reoccurring every year in terms of the dividend coming from the JV?
As far as the dividend is concerned, this is the first time we received the dividend, because after the maturation of the product, the sales and growth and expenses are taken care of and all. And as you could see, quarter on quarter, you are seeing the profit share which we are getting from the things. And we hope that this will continue. This one time off for the dividend thing will be once in a year, naturally, like what we do in our business also, once in a year dividend. Otherwise, the quarter on quarter, but you cannot expect the same results for every quarter, but the year on year basis is an incremental, as you could see from now itself, from the numbers itself.
Because this dividend is based on the previous year profitability of the 38 crores of whatever, we have got. We are getting almost, on the 6 months basis, almost 80% is given in the form of dividend. Whether the same distribution ratio will be followed up or not, time will only tell. We don't know how it is going to be based on their growth, based on their requirement of cash, and then we will know. Being a first time, we reported as it is, we will not know how it is going to be in future. We expect it to be there on the more or less similar lines. That is our hope.
Sure, sir. Sure, sir. And couple of bookkeeping questions, from here. So one is on the tax rate, it was substantially higher this quarter. So would it be fair to assume that it would be because of this dividend income, which would be taxed at a very high rate as compared to the normal operations? Or how
yes.
would...
Yes.
All right. Okay. And so on the second side, I think in this first half, we also commercialized the Vizag plant, but the resulted increase in depreciation is still not that very much visible. So have we fully capitalized, and would depreciation on the P&L would increase from here on?
No, Vizag plant is capitalized long back. Only the part of the next block is partially capitalized. Now it's fully capitalized.
Okay.
So, the old capex program which we have indicated earlier, we have more or less it is done. In the sense it is completed. That's been capitalized. And you see the increase in depreciation is basically because of that. One of the additional block also has come into picture for capitalization this year.
Sure, sir. Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Sarvanan from Unifi Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Couple of questions. See, you had mentioned that there's a good order book for the next 6 months, and you also called out shortages in raw material availability. So do we have enough inventory as well as supply agreements for the next 6 months order book?
Supply agreements, no. Nobody is giving a supply agreement. I want to write for a year, 6 months, 3 months. That used to be the case. Now they are saying month-to-month basis or order-to-order basis. The prices are so dynamic, they are not giving us. Even for the local raw materials, very basic raw materials, we are not able to get the. But at the same time, you cannot put 6 months raw material storage because it's very difficult to store all that kind of a huge volumes of those things. We are hoping that this will be available, but also it's very dynamic. Right now, we're only giving a cautionary statement that not only the raw material prices have gone up, but also the availability may pose a risk of the manufacturing being affected.
But overall inventory holding is also, there is an increase.
Got it, sir. Got it. And last year, in the annual con call, you had mentioned that you had not filed any new ANDAs in FY21. What about first half? Has there been any new ANDAs filed?
Yeah, we have filed about 5.
Okay, in the first half itself. That's good to know. And the research projects inquiries, in your assessment, has it gone up to the pre-COVID stage or still there is some catch-up to do? I'm just talking about the inquiries.
Yes, still catch-up has to do.
Okay.
Not come to the pre-COVID level yet.
Okay, got it, sir. I'll join back the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manoj Garge from White Oak Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, very good afternoon and thank you very much for giving us the opportunity and congratulations Mr. Jassy and the team for the good set of numbers in a challenging environment. So while I understand, sir, and you have made a comment that the endeavor we have is obviously to move up the value chain. Where currently we are manufacturing N-5, N-6, we would like to go up maybe on N-1 or formulation at some point of time. And you also have indicated that given because of COVID, obviously either the customer can't visit to you or you can't go and meet the customers. But now with international travels opening, are you seeing at least the willingness of customers to come and visit our plant? And as a result, probably at some point of time, maybe over the next 12 to 24 months, we start seeing the traction happening in terms of, maybe API supply or the formulation supply.
As of now, I don't see the customers coming directly, and they are only doing those things that are necessary for their ongoing projects, assessments or audits or whatever you can call it through the monthly. And for any new things, still there is a gap, and I think unless they come and see it physically, especially because the people who deal with us directly, the R&D based activity and the supply chain based activity versus the fully commercialized life cycle management, they are a completely different people, even though it's the same company. And they may have the knowledge based on their database, but at the same time, they would like to come and see and then only go to the next level. This COVID has derailed our thought process. And as I said, the people are not coming yet. So that is a little bit negative. But hopefully in 2022, they start coming, and we hope that we'll be able to catch up with them and hope that things will move in the right direction. Right now, yes, it is a standstill.
Okay, got it. That's very clear. And just to understand as a follow on this, sir, that once the customer visit and if they like the facility and all everything, then typically how much time it will take that prospect to convert into the actual business?
Depending on the type of the molecule and all that stuff, 2 years and up to three and a half years.
Okay, between 2 to 3 and 3.5 years.
Right.
Got it. And just the last question from my side, sir. While you have stopped giving in terms of the number of projects in the pipeline, Maybe qualitatively, if someone has to understand in terms of the incremental additions in the pipeline, right from preclinical to phase one, phase two, phase three, how are you seeing those incremental projects coming in? Is it in line with our expectations, better than our expectations? If some qualitative colors you can provide there?
I mean, more than the incremental, the traction on the existing products and the success in the existing products at the customer level is much better. And if you are purely saying the incremental numbers, so they are not, as I was telling earlier, caller, that it's not like the previous, pre-COVID levels yet. Good thing for us is existing projects is yielding a better traction. In addition to the, I would say around 75% of the pre-COVID level and the inquiries, the new project additions.
Got it. That's very helpful, sir. Thank you very much for answering all the questions and wish you all the best.
Thanks a lot, Maharaj.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ranbir Singh from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. And congratulations for good numbers. Just a few clarity. On CapEx front, you said 200 crore replacement CapEx has been is planned for FY22.
Yeah, we planned FY22 with that we have spent only around 20 crores right now. And more or less it will be going into the first quarter also. Because it requires the civil construction also. There is a, because of the COVID restrictions and the number of people who have to put it in and all that stuff, delayed a little bit, but not that much compared to others.
So 200 crore is out of 600 crore we planned for a replacement CapEx, is it right?
Yes.
Okay.
The second and 200 crores is also moving the site from the GD Metro to outside the ring road. That's also, it's mainly for the new infrastructure for the R&D center that does not give you any, what you call, the capacities. But also replacement. The actual capacity increase is going to be in the Pasha Mailaram with the additional block of 150 crores, which is yet to be started.
So growth capex would be 150 crore out of 600 crore, right?
Yes.
Okay. Secondly, on a specialty chemical business, you mentioned 5% growth in FY22 and that can go up to 10 to 12%?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And on intermediate products, that the products we have currently under trials, any timeline if you could give when the revenue may flow?
No, unless I get the intimation from the customer where they are looking at it. That I was telling earlier also, I don't have any indication as of now. Usually we know 4 to 6 months ahead of time, especially when it goes into the next level, especially phase 3 to pre-launch. So far, we are not got any indication.
Okay, fine. And what was the royalty amount from Taro in this quarter?
It's very minuscule.
It's minuscule. I mean, it's coming to...
Almost negligible.
Negligible.
Okay, so 33 crore we received in first half. So what is other amount in out of 41 crore?
The other income includes, there is a kind of investment income, little bit of investment income, right? Apart from the dividend.
33.2 crores is a dividend.
Dividend.
And that is included in share of profit from associates, right?
No, share of profit from associate is different actually. There, you know, here the other income what we show, which is purely like 44.11 crore, is that includes about 33 crores of dividend, and the rest of them are about level. We have the mutual funds and, the interest earning investments. Whereas share of associate profit is shown below the line actually. If you really see that in the P&L account, that is different. For 6 months,
okay.
It is about
44 Fine. And earlier you guided for a specialty, CDMO CRAMS, the pharma CDMO business, that 10 to 12%, that we stay with this for FY22, the growth in CDMO pharma business?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you.
A reminder to the participants, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. Should you have any follow-up, may we request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Neeraj Chetty from Solidarity Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Is my voice audible?
Yes.
Yeah. I had 2 questions. So I just wanted to know from our raw material mix perspective, how much of our raw material comes from China today?
Close to 37% of our total imports.
About 37%, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. And say over the next couple of years, are we taking any initiatives to reduce this share of the mix, either by de-risking or by backward integrating further?
We are not into raw material making. So backward integration happens only if it is the intermediate stage of the business. But when it's raw materials, the basic raw materials, and we are not going to take up that part of the things. And even though the cost increases, even though we import 37% of the raw material out of the total thing, some of the local raw materials also gone up sky high, like fourfold. So you cannot just blame China alone. Taking that cue and having a better profit margin, the locals also selling into the exports, and that is increasing the prices. And moreover, we are worried some shortages also may come. So these are the things. So as far as raw material is concerned, backward integration will not be happening, but the intermediates, if we put any for the small beginning of the project, if we take some intermediates, when it goes to the next step, we always do the backward integration, but not the raw material.
Okay. Got it, sir. This is a question from my end. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sonal Gupta from L&T Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, sir, and thanks for taking my question. Just a couple of clarifications. So you mentioned 150 basis points increase in freight cost. That's the main driver of the increase in other expenses and manufacturing costs year on year. I mean, like, I'm just trying to understand,
That's one of them. The COVID-related activities a little bit things, and the second thing is environmental cost has gone up, sir. That's also about 100 basis points.
But a total 2.5% increase, actually 2.3% of whatever it is, sir. This is like, you know, it's shared in these 3 different formats.
So environmental cost increases, could you just explain that?
Because we have a zero liquid discharge facilities, but that the operational cost has gone up, so that's one increase. And we also have in Vizag, it is a third party to the environmental thing, where we have a new contract signed by the association, which has gone up a lot because there was no increase in the last 4 or 5 years, so the increase has come into picture. All these accumulated even 100 basis points of environment cost increase in total.
Got it. So, no, because what I was just trying to also look at is, like, if I look at your manufacturing plus other expenses in the first quarter of this year, it was around 49 crores, which has gone to almost 60 crores in the second quarter. So and as a percentage of sales also, that has gone up from 18.5% to almost 20%. So just this increase is mainly related, I mean, even on a QOQ basis, these are the main factors which have driven the increase?
Yes.
Okay, sir. Great. Thank you. And my second question was, again, just so you are still, the expectation on the pharma CDMO side is for a 10 to 15% growth.
Yes.
And if I got you correct, now you're saying that as a company as a whole, we should be somewhere in the 15%-18% range for the full year in terms of revenue.
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir. Great. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Cyndrella Thomas Carvalho from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Congratulations, sir, on great set of numbers and happy Diwali to all.
Thank you.
Yeah, just want to understand from you, I mean, given the raw material volatility, inflation that we are seeing, and the quarter, if I look at, we have a higher contribution from the specialty side. So, and still we are maintaining very good set of margins. So can you help us understand what are the key drivers where we are seeing a better product mix, in which segment? Is it the core pharma, which is again giving us this kind of better product mix? Can you help us understand this in a little more details on a segment-wise basis?
Yeah, I mean, see, the product mix will be part and parcel of this profitability. And naturally, even though the contribution has, I mean, the growth has been there in the specialty chemicals, at the same time, we have a better product mix with respect to the, I mean, profitability-wise, with this, the CRAMS side of the business also. But at the same time, I mean, if you really dissect this last quarter and this quarter, the PAT is same. If you take out the one-time dividend inflow into the system. So, otherwise, because of the growth of the growth on the top line, we should have got another 5%-6% more, but all these things affected the raw material costs and the environmental costs and the operational costs are increased. That's why we would still maintain it, but the profitability, I mean, what the product mix is always part and parcel of the growth potential. It keeps changing, and that's why you don't see that every quarter will be the same trend. But year on year, yes, the trend will be a positive side.
This is very helpful, sir. And sir, if any sense that we have in terms of the entire raw material scenario from the basic commodity side, how do you see this going ahead? Do you see any ease off, or do you see any kind of trend that we can, put a handle on? I don't know. I mean, it's very difficult at this point in time. That's why I'm asking your opinion in terms of how do you see it from an industry perspective and for our company?
Industry and our company's perspective is the same, and we don't know where we are heading in a sense. And right now, we hope that this will stay as it is with a little bit increases. But our worry is the non-availability itself, especially not necessarily from China, especially in India, very basic raw materials like methanol, like caustic soda, and all these kind of things, and which can derail our production operations, no? So things can happen, and right now, we are crossing our fingers, and we hope with the 6%-7% increase in the raw material costs, we'll be able to maintain the, what do you call, the profitability. But yeah, there is a very outside chance, not only for us, but all other companies, things can affect in a jiffy for a few days, which that's what I'm talking about the industry perspective, because so far nothing has, that sort of has happened, but people are giving indications saying that I may not be able to. I was telling the caller also that we used to have at least a minimum of 3 months supply agreements, if not 1 year, 6 months. And they don't want to give even for the basic raw material. They don't want to give. They're saying month on month. And sometimes they're saying even the delivery based. So every time there's changes that are happening. So one side is the increase in the prices. Second side is the possibility of non-availability of very, very basic raw materials for each and every industry that get affected in the pharma.
Right, so I think we have to live with it for some more time. And so, I mean, if I can squeeze one more. I mean, has there anything moved in terms of our core CRAMS products from phase 2 to phase 3? Any movement that you can share with us or any changes that you're seeing? And how is the growth outlook? I understand.
Not much movement this quarter.
Okay. And so any growth outlook that you can share over 12 to 24 months from a pharma perspective, core pharma perspective?
I mean, it's, I can give you, as you know, I never give you 2 years, 3 years from now. Only I can give you 6 months, which I have already mentioned that the traction is good and we are going to maintain the run rate as of the first 2 to 6 months and it will be similar. So total around 18% growth compared to last year. And we hope to maintain that 10 to 15% growth, but only time will tell.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. All the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul from Multi-Act. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So on special chemicals, I wanted to confirm a few things. So firstly, we haven't launched any new molecule in this year, right, in H1?
No.
Okay, so the entire growth has been entirely organic. So this growth that we have seen in H1, has this been led by volume growth or there is an element of price increase also included here?
No, there is nothing like a new product coming in going because we don't have our own product. These are all always in the mix and match, except the specialty chemicals. All the other things are mix and match. So these are all the value-added products and the volume growth in the specialty chemicals.
Sir, I was asking specifically on the specialty chemical segment itself. So in that, the strong growth that we have seen in H1 of this year, has this been on the back of volume growth or we have also taken price increases considering raw material costs?
No, volume growth only, not price increase.
There is no change in the pricing.
Okay. Okay. And in terms of the launch that we expect in 22, so that is calendar year 22 or financial year 22?
Calendar,
yeah. Okay. Okay. And sir, beyond that, any other visibility that we have, like future launches beyond the one that is expected in calendar?
No, I'm not even saying launches. This is a possibility, okay, because that is still things are going on the field. And if everything goes well, that's what they were saying, you know, and 22 calendar rather. And it can be maybe 3 months ahead or 6 months delay. We don't know. So this is the hope that we have. Until it comes to the very 3 to 4 months ahead, we will not be able to pinpoint. This is only indication.
Got it. And sir, any similar anticipation in the pharma segment?
The same thing. No, only success of the molecule at the clinical trials will give us the change from stage to stage. That means phase 1 to phase 2, phase 2 to phase 3. So far, as I was telling earlier also, there is not the big growth comes in only when it moves from the phase 3 to pre-launch quantities. So far, no indication has been received. So we cannot tell.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keshav from Racks and Investors. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. Thanks a lot for taking my question. Sir, in one of the calls, you had mentioned that whatever the new additions that happen to the NC CDMO pipeline happen at phase 1. Is that the correct understanding?
Not necessarily. Sometimes they come at phase 2 also. After phase 2, it will not come. I mean, the new additions will not happen. Only the ones that are in the phase 2. Because, see, phase 1 is not on the patients. So there can be some additional requirement. They come in, people can come to the new addition and new customer additions in the phase 2 stage where it starts with the patients. When once the patient is started, the 99% of the time they don't change the sources other than 2 or 3 or 4 of them that are there existing, because the impurity profile will affect the side effects of the patients. So usually early stage will get in phase 2, sometimes I mean phase 1, and sometimes you also get the base on the molecules in phase 2 also, but 90% in phase 1.
Sir, in addition to what you mentioned, is working with Big Pharma also a factor in this? Sir, why I ask this is because one of our peers in the NCE API CDMO space, who works predominantly with small and mid-sized players, has added a few APIs as well as intermediates to the very late-stage pipeline without going through the entire cycle. So wanted to understand if this is also a factor that we are working with the bigger players as compared to. Yeah.
Yeah, but API means that it's already a matured product, right? That's a different matter. But when you're starting early in the clinical trial phase, usually it is the phase one. Sometimes you can get in phase three, but not in phase, I mean phase two, but not in phase three, usually. Never happens.
Sure, sir. Sure. Sir, and a recent report by IQVIA on CNS claimed that this decade is poised to be for CNS what the past two have been for oncology. Sir, would love to have your point of view on what factors can lead to such growth and what gray areas are being explored now, which weren't earlier, to sort of facilitate a push towards potential successes.
No, we will not be able to comment on that. We still don't have information about those in proper manner. The one what they're talking about is the one actually which is still in the review by FDA. So we are still waiting for the final information from them. Based on the public information, what they can say about it.
So I was not asking particularly by in like for Suven Life. I was just trying to gauge what your generalistic view on the CNS space is. Like we are seeing a lot of late stage, early stage therapies as compared to what we were seeing earlier. So like, are we seeing an increased move of biomarkers like we did oncology, and that led to a lot of growth in that space? Any generalistic viewpoint on the market itself?
No, I mean, this is all depends on the areas. I mean, you're talking about the CNS versus the oncology, and we don't have much knowledge about the oncology because we only do the CNS. And CNS also, there are small molecules, and there are new biomarkers have been developed even for this one, and also the disease-modifying activity. There are a number of programs are going on, so it's very difficult for us to tell at this time which one to concentrate or whatever.
I do have one question. Are you talking about our CRAMS offering in pharmaceutical, or you're talking about our CNS portfolio of drugs, the overall market outlook, what you're trying to say?
Sir, for the CNS portfolio, not the CRAMS.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. There, still it is a too far-fetched game right now.
Sure, sir. Sure. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of M.S. Rajashekar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Oh, my questions have been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vainathan B.T., an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon to you, sir. Am I allowed to ask you a question on the progress of 3031 molecule, please?
Yes.
So can you kindly update us on the time frame where the results or the final data will be delivered from this molecule?
If everything goes well, it will be the end of 2022. Because every time there is some or other problem with the enrollment because of the COVID situation, not necessarily from the site point of view, but also from the customer point of view, I mean, the patient point of view also. I mean, we should have the results by now, and unfortunately, this is delayed by 18 months. And now the new target date is end 2022, December time frame.
Is there any, like we had for the previous molecule, 715, this one, the extended course which was given to the patient, is there anything like this also in this particular molecule, please?
That will happen when once the study is closed, and then depending on the requests we get, and then we'll take a call on that.
I think, you know, this being a short-term study, we don't foresee any such kind of extension actually in relation to 502. 502, you know, we had to go and approach FDA for additional, for those patients who have completed 6 months and then to continue the drug on a compassionate basis where the data is not collected. Such things are not there in 3031.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much indeed. That was all my query, please.
Thank you.
And have a nice time. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Agraj Shah from Tata AIA Life. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking the question and congratulations on the set of numbers. So the question is on the balance sheet side, so we've seen a sharp increase in the receivables of nearly around 61 crores from 100 crores to 64 crores. So,
Mr. Shah? Yes, sir, please. Say if you can speak closer to the handset, please. Your voice is not clearly audible.
Sure, just.
This is better.
Your voice is breaking.
Is this
Mr. Shah, your voice is breaking up. May we request you to move to a better reception area?
But no, I'm audible.
Sir, may we request you to rejoin the queue, please?
Sure, I'll rejoin you. Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankush Agarwal from Surge Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up. So just a data keeping question on, like, can you tell me how many ANDAs we have filed, how many are commercial, how many have approved, and how many are under development?
Total filed are 15, approved are 7, launched are 7. And additional filing is 5 has happened.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshit Shah from Nirvana Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so thanks for the follow-up, sir. So I just want to know of this 5 phase 3 molecules, just to understand for the investor community, I mean, what could be the opportunity size? I mean, can you let us know in which therapeutic areas broadly are those present?
See, opportunity is, you cannot tell based on the sales figure. It used to be like that. Maybe if it's $1 billion sales, they expect at the maturity and you'll get for an API about 8 to 6%, and then the intermediate is this much percent. But now the price of the formulation is so high, you cannot correlate between those things. And these are all includes into the RA and pain and oncology.
Yeah.
And they are for some...
sometimes, you know, the indications also, no, it will not be very...
Yeah, also, some of them are being even tried while they are doing this. Even COVID-related repurposing also being tried, which we do not know until it is published to us.
Yeah.
I mean, it was known to us.
Okay. Got it, sir. So there can be a COVID kind of opportunity as well if they repurpose it and probably that's being successfully approved by FDA and all.
Yes.
Okay. Cool, sir. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Agraj Shah from Tata AI Life. Please go ahead. Mr. Shah, please proceed with your question. Mr. Shah, we are unable to hear you. As there is no response from the current participant, we move to the next question from the line of Neeraj Shetty from Solidarity Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. This is Aniruddh Shetty here. Thanks for taking my follow-up question. I just wanted to understand if you look at, your company from a more medium to long-term kind of time horizon, and given, you know, the backdrop that we're seeing is there's more and more business coming from this entire China plus one theme, and, you know, global customers are looking to de-risk. India is well positioned. So can there be an upside possibility to our, you know, 15% top line growth guidance that we give, if one takes, say, a more 3 to 5 years kind of time horizon?
China plus does not apply to Suven Pharma because we are not into generics and we're not into the APIs primarily. We are into the innovation-based supply chain starting at phase one, phase two, phase three. So there is not much change in that part, so there will not be any effect on that for us, chain of us. But the growth 10 to 15% can go to 30 to 40% in 1 year itself if a couple of molecules in the pipeline goes to the next level, like phase 2 to large stage. So then the growth will certainly double. Right now, based on the existing banks only, we are giving 10 to 15% growth. But anything can happen in a 6 months' time. The same growth can be doubled at that time for that year. So things can happen like that, but not China plus one is not really a big factor as far as Suvin is concerned.
Sir, I just wanted to clarify, the business that we are in, like you mentioned, the phase 1-3 innovation-based model, how big would China be in this particular category of ours?
Not much. I mean, because see, the other thing you need to understand is if we get the projects in India, Suvin is the only one that gets it. Not that the innovator will give it to two or three people in India. Similarly, they go to China, they get only one, Europe one, like that. So this is all already taken care of. Coming out of that, not much is happening. Raw material side, API side, yes. They want to do other than China, but whatever in the innovation supply chain, I think they are okay. I think whatever the players here, four players, they are there, then they are maintaining it. So based on that, I don't expect anything to come to us.
Got it, sir. Thank you for taking my question.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Arun, all for tuning in. And as you know, I mean, we are in a good position at the same time with a lot of problems we are facing, unlike before. And in spite of that, we hope to maintain this run rate and the profitability. And hope to see you all in the coming conference calls. Thank you. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Suvin Pharmaceuticals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.